Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Close Up Radio is here, and I'm your host, Jim Masters. And it's another great episode we have in store for you, as together on Close Up Radio, we learn the intricacies of life and legacy planning from specialized attorney Denise Letao. Denise is an attorney with a practice launched for the purposes of supporting clients with the legalities of trusts, estates, legacy planning, and related professional services. Denise was first introduced to this line of work when she was hired in 2006 by SunTrust Bank, first managing real estate within trusts, and later as part of the special needs unit. She had always been fascinated with the transfer of assets and how wealth can either drive or destroy family relationships. She also doesn't want families to end up with a big mess at a challenging point in their lives. Denise is licensed in Florida as well as in Washington, D.C., but only services Floridians and will be happily able to refer anyone in the D.C. area to an attorney there. She says, people think you have to be super rich to do this, but that's not true. If you don't establish a trust now, going through probate court proceedings later could cost much more money financially, not to mention in terms of time and energy. And one thing that separates Denise from others in her field is the way she establishes this long-term relationship with clients. She makes regular calls to check in, not only to see if they are new assets, a forgotten employer's 401k, which is now available, but to also see if the family has changed. The sister you wanted to handle your health decisions might now be older or frailer than you are. And there might be new grandchildren, spouses, or great-grandchildren among your beneficiaries. It's important for people to protect their hard-won and really earned assets, too, hard-won, that is, and ensure their accounts don't get into the hands of an unclaimed property department. Denise says one important thing to remember is that it's never too early to make these kinds of plans. So she created plans for her parents, too, long before her mother and her father passed. And she feels it's the best thing she ever did for the family. Imagine if you're left taking care of a pricey apartment that once belonged to Grandma in New York City, where the wintry cold can make pipes burst and you have to carry extensive costs before the place could be legally sold. Or if two 40-year-olds perish in a ski accident and their tween kids are left alone without anyone with plans for their care or access to funds to fulfill their needs, it can be very daunting. Denise knows all about this, and she helps people. She guides them, and she wants people to know that estate planning is not just about money and possessions. These are also family traditions and ideals to consider when planning things out, starting with end of life and burial preferences as well. If there's a way to keep people out of courts, conflict, and chaos, then she will surely find it. My pleasure to welcome her from warm and sunny Florida. Denise Letao is here. Attorney Letao, thank you very much for joining us on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You know, it sounds like it could be very emotional, very daunting. And for some people, if they don't have the plans, I know it's not a topic a lot of people talk about at the dinner table. A lot of people push it off, stave it off when it comes to estate planning, when it comes to when you have a situation when there's a passing in the family, and then there's a house that has to be sold, and who gets what. And oftentimes you have a situation where there's a house and the maybe grandparents had a will, or they had pensions, they had life insurance, they had all these things. But if the right family members and hands are not handling that, sometimes people that the grandparents wished were able to, you know, receive something from their benefits, the things they've earned, never gets to them. It's blocked by other family members or just problems that happen. You deal with that all the time, huh?
Yes, I do. I do. And as you stated in the beginning, there aren't probably enough conversations amongst family members about what to do when these situations arise. And of course, they're going to, whether it is first for grandma and grandpa, and then the parents and so on. So it is very important, I think, especially to have these conversations and of course to start personally as parents with your own health care, how you would like to be looked after and what type of measures you would like to be pursued. Things of that nature is the best way to kind of start these conversations.
Because if you don't, sometimes things can happen where everybody is all together, but once money's involved and jewelry and real estate and everything else, it can get dicey. And sometimes everybody, it's like, every man for themselves, right? I'm sure you've seen that too and had to work through that, which can be shocking and surprising to family members that all of a sudden somebody comes into play and says, "Nope, I'm handling it all and I'm the one divvying it up," even if that's not the wishes of the person that passed.
Right, and that happens quite often, and sadly, it happens a lot with unmarried couples, because if you don't leave a will or have a trust, then you're tr then it's not it's basically your next of kin. So that's who, it could be the cousin you haven't spoken to in 30 years, rather than perhaps that loved one, and usually because you didn't get around to doing it for whatever reason. So that's one of the starkest examples, but there are a lot of examples. And I say, put it in writing, then your wishes are known. And if people want to squabble about it, of course they still can, but generally you have stated specifically what it is that you want and what you want to happen.
That's so important, right? For everybody to state what they want and what their wishes are while they're here, because you just never know what can happen in life, and things can happen quickly. What is it about, you're a revered attorney, but what is it about this area of expertise that intrigued you, this specific branch of legal work? I believe you even had, as I alluded to a little bit in the intro, you had a personal family history as well.
Well, my parents were orphans, and my mother was very dramatic because she lost both parents by the age of three. So a lot of my life trajectory was with her telling me, I'm not going to be around forever, which of course no child wants to hear. And this is through my entire life. And she was always making sure that we knew what she wanted, where things were. This went through her entire lifespan, my entire lifespan. And I have, and it is unusual, but I guess the trauma of losing your parents, and it was her greatest wish really to live long enough that we were both, and I'm talking about my sister and myself, that we were grown and settled, and not left as children with family members that didn't necessarily, not that they didn't love her, but they were grandparents in their 70s. So this was, and your 70s back in those days, that was old. Today it's not, but back in those days, it was old. So she really wanted to make sure that we were prepared for that day when she was no longer here. And she did that.
That's great. So your mother made sure that everything was taken care of. So upon her passing, there was no squabbling, no confusion, no nothing. It was all there in writing and all stable. And that's so important. It's part of the proactive planning, right? Which has three main thrusts that you say. One is protecting your investments. And tell us about all three main focuses of your work, as it's even described on your website, and the three main thrusts of proactive planning.
Well, actually, and I'll go back to you because you use the term investments, and I would rather say finances, because a lot of people may not necessarily have, and I'm talking about investments in terms of, stocks and bonds and things of that nature, may not have investment set up like that. But we all have finances to tend with, and we all have, of course, property that we want to pass on to our loved ones. So the main thing, of course, is to protecting that, inventorying that is extremely important. And then the other things which people kind of overlook because we do think about finances first is really, really has to do with if you have loved ones. Really thinking, contemplating how you want this done. I alluded to if you are an unmarried couple. There are also, if you have minor children, you want to make very specific references as to who should be looking after those children, should you, God forbid, no longer be around to do so. There are so many considerations that are a part of this. And then finally, the third piece, the bigger piece in my mind is really that lasting legacy. And that lasting legacy is going to have a lot to do with how you've left everything. Was it a big mess that everyone was having issues with, or was it a fairly smooth and organized progress? And I did kind of want to go back to my mom because she did this very unusual thing, which I think is so spectacular, is we used to give each other books. And I had given her a particular book. And when my sister and I were cleaning out her things after she passed, my sister actually grabbed the book off the shelf and said, "Oh, I always wanted this book." And I was just about to say, I gave her that book. And then my sister opened the cover and my mom had written inside to Denise, who gave me this book. So that's how far she went. As to not to have anyone squabbling with everything, whether it was books or jewelry or anything, she determined who it was going to go to. Usually, if you gave it to her, you were going to get it back. And there were other sentimental things that she gave specifically to people. So that's a huge part of the legacy, too. That's how people remember you by, unfortunately, maybe some of your last years. And the way that you don't, if you don't leave some huge disaster, it does quite a bit for your legacy. And it's great for the family. It's a great family story. It's a great
Right.
part of, it's a great ongoing tradition to create. And also there's a lot of traditions about legacy letters, which is really writing about kind of like the family mission or the family values. Now people record these, they do videotaping, etc. But it used to be really a handwritten letter saying, this is what I would like to pass on. This is the stories you may not know about me. These are my values. These are my ethics. This is what I would like for you in your lifetime. So that's for me the most spectacular piece of all of it. And I think that my parents did that quite well.
That's a good idea for the person that we're talking about, could even be ourselves, to do that, to leave a video legacy, sort of summarizing their life, summarizing their happiness, their joy, their passions, things that the family and others didn't know about them, and also leaving, like you said, things that meant something to them for those who are left behind. I know that I had an aunt that passed, and she, there were things that I always, as a child, just enjoyed. There was a certain chair in the corner, there was a certain this, that, and the other, that just I always enjoyed and always pointed it out. And even well before her passing, when she was healthy, she had gifted those, and we still have them, and there's no value we could ever place on them because it's not something we would toss out or sell or any of that. It reminds us of Aunt Gertie. There's the chair. She had that in the house. She loved that chair and work of art, and it's in our corner of our living room because it reminds us of her. And those are some beautiful things, like you say. Sometimes people are thought about and remembered based on the actions that they take when they're alive. So if they've left certain mementos and certain photos and things in the house that they want to gift to others, it's very touching, isn't it?
Yeah, and it and I like doing it also during your lifetime as well.
During the lifetime when you're alive,
yeah,
when you're ill, right?
Right. It's also quite wonderful for everyone to experience that.
That's what Aunt Gertie sure did. But she would also tell you what she paid for it. My mother would say, Gert, you don't have to tell everybody the prices. If they think it's super expensive, let them. That's how honest Aunt Gertie was. And now if people can go and use LegalZoom or some app they saw on TV or to do a will, why should they also use a professional estate planner?
You know, my thinking on that is it's good at least that there are tools available for people who feel that they cannot afford to go to an attorney. I think that that is great. My main caution on that would be, and I have seen some of those documents because people have come to me seeking advice, and they're just not really tailored to your particular situation, at least those that I have seen. So I suppose if you, and I haven't gone on to any of them, but if one of the, if they are very specific with regard to your situation, it can be a great thing. But I don't think that anything can be greater than actually sitting across from someone explaining what it is that you want or do not want. Your personal circumstances. You can't give your circumstances, your family dynamics to your computer. I mean, maybe to an extent you might be able to write it in, but they're great tools, but I don't think they're so counterintuitive that they can really specifically tailor it to an individual's circumstances. And that's a huge difference. But I would say using that is better than nothing. Nothing is really terrible. With that, at least you probably have a 50-50 chance that it's going to work, in my opinion, because again, circumstances. I've seen documents that people have that aren't really specific for the state that I'm in. They've had language that we wouldn't use here. So it depends on a lot of dynamics, but I don't really think I understand definitely the desire to do it because it's a lot less expensive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be worthwhile because it may not actually hold up or do what it is that you thought it could do for you.
One of the things that you are, which your clients love about you, is you are so relatable and so people focused and empathetic and compassionate, especially considering all the emotion and everything that's involved in situations like these. I also hear that you excel at that emotional relationship and understand the human condition. Tell us about that and the importance of that, especially when you're dealing with your clients, because for them, there's been a situation that has happened that they have to deal with. And sometimes it could be frustrating or foggy or overwhelming. And you come in and you create a sense of compassion and clarity.
Well, I think that to be in this, I'll say line of business for lack of better wording, that you have to have a certain degree of people, unfortunately, still don't come as early as they should. So they may come, especially when it comes to healthcare directives, for example, the crisis is there or about there. But people are not willing, like my mother, to talk about death. People are not particularly open about what they may or may not want in terms of medical care in certain situations. I find that actually a lot. So basically, I'm in the position of just being, and hopefully I am, a good listener, and allowing people the opportunity. And honestly, a lot of people have told me they've never thought about these things. That's another thing too. It's kind of, they're just starting that journey even of thinking about what they would like. how they would like it done, who they would like to be involved, who they want to leave possessions to, on and on and on. A lot of people really don't think about it. And then someone in the family will at least push them towards, don't you think you ought to at least have a will? That will be kind of the opening door. And then people will actually start thinking and focusing about, maybe I do need to talk with someone about this. And I'm not creating or just creating paper. Like, I don't want people, and I think that's part of the issue with, going online and doing this. It's really not about the whole documents. It's really the documents, yes, they provide the framework or the blueprint for what it is that you want to have done. But there's so much more involved with that. And that's why I also believe that sitting down and speaking with a human being is probably going to create a much better plan.
Really important. And also, there's something that folks may have heard, but they're not sure of what it is, and that is a charitable trust. What is a charitable trust? And do some clients create those? And what else, in terms of planning, would you say that should be included and designed?
Charitable trust, the ultimate goal is for the funds placed within the trust to go to charity. They are not as, I'll say, popular as they once were because the estate tax exemption, or what is commonly known as the death tax, if you have less than $13.99 million, you don't have to worry about it. So when I started out in this business, the exemption, the estate tax exemption, you had to have more than $5 million. There were a lot more people who wanted to do a charitable trust so that they could do this planning, which minimized essentially the taxes that they would pay, or that their families would have to pay a death. They would rather that those funds actually go to charity. So you don't see so much of that before, as much as you used to. What is very kind of common these days, are, and they are a form of charitable trust, are the donor advised funds. And they essentially, you, the donor, the person who's placed in the fund, the money, is determining where those funds are going. And that's a very, very in vogue these days. The old charitable trust, they could, there was a charitable remainder trust, for example, so that an individual could receive income from that trust. And then at a certain point, usually no later than 20 years or so, the remaining funds within the trust would go to the charity. So that is the old school type of trust that people used to do. I personally don't see that so much anymore, but there was a time when, and maybe that's just because that's not my clientele, but what I do hear everyone talking about are donor advised funds. And those are people who have tax issues because they have a lot of money.
Right,
Death
exactly.
tax issues.
Right. What a problem to have.
Yes, a
Right.
good problem to have.
I tell you. Speaking of that and having lots of money, but lots of incredible expertise and advice, I've heard that in some circles you're described as a money nerd. And you follow, of course, the wonderful Warren Buffett. And a lot of people watch his investment strategies, and he doesn't always go in the direction that you think he's going to go in, which I think is why he's so successful. What have you also learned from him about things like communication and family?
Right. I actually don't follow Warren Buffett because of investments. I follow Warren Buffett because of the way in which he has managed what is now family wealth. So he has created this incredible wealth, billions of dollars, and he has done something quite unusual, which is to keep his adult children not involved in terms of day-to-day management, but keeping them aware of what his intentions are. So he has, whenever he's changed his will or trust, for example, or whatever else he's created, foundation, he's advised his adult children of what it is that he's doing and why he's doing it, which is even more important. So in most of these mega wealthy families, you have usually a patriarch or a matriarch, and they're keeping it pretty close to the vest. They're not telling anybody what they're doing for whatever reason. So his example of doing that is just so unique, and there are so many families out there, and I won't name them, that where this has not happened and probably won't, for a variety of reasons. People often do have good reasons for why they don't do it, but I've always found him, he's very seemingly pretty matter of fact, pretty still behaves very modestly. And just he and his partner, Charlie Munger, they kind of act like regular guys. They just have a lot of money and they're pretty straightforward. So I always followed him because of that. So that comes from my trust advisor days of how are the very wealthy families handling communication to the next generations? How are they doing that? So
Very
he's a great
important.
example. He's a fantastic example for that.
He is. Anything you'd like to share with our audience today, in addition to what we've been chatting about thus far?
The basics, don't put off planning. As my mother used to say, I'm not going to be around forever. So none of us are going to be around forever. And this is that opportunity really to kind of pave the way for your family's future in many ways. And again, I'm not just talking about money. People do think, but I'm not just talking about money. And if you do own a home, that's already a foundation for generational wealth right there. So it starts really, that's one of the ways, one of the more common ways within the United States to create generational wealth. There are others, but the more common one, houses these days are valued extremely high. It's a big asset for most of us, the largest asset for most of us. So don't put off your planning.
Like you say, remember planning for life and death this way lets you make choices and with clarity. Life and legacy planning is an empowering tool for you and the people you love, right?
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about. You love this work, don't you? Because you know you're helping people and it inspires them as much as it inspires you, doesn't it?
It's very, it is. I'm actually kind of surprised how much I enjoy it.
Right.
Because it seems some people say, oh my God. But no, it's I guess that's kind of what I would, that's why I had the parents I had. I'm guessing. So, but I have followed their example. My husband and I have done our planning. My son is aware of most of what it is that we have done. So, his son is aware of most of what, which by the way, we are second marriage. So there are other blended families have other distinct circumstances that need to be considered when people are doing planning as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I encourage folks again, if they would like to learn more, there is a website that you can go to connect with Denise. And that's Denise Latau. And I will spell this out for you. It is DeniseLetaupa.com. Denise, this was wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing the firsthand experiences and your professional guidance in this conversation. I know you help so many people, and it runs in your DNA to do so, and a real pleasure learning about it here on Close Up Radio. I hope we get a chance to explore some more together, maybe even hear some success stories, testimonials. That would be wonderful. And I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you today.
I did. It was really great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure and our pleasure. And we appreciate you. And we also appreciate all the listeners here on Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time. And come see us again right here on the program, Close Up Radio. Till then, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening. And bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.